Council, good morning to you. It is my understanding that Ms. Langen, you're going to argue. And Mr. Yvorek, you're going to argue. Do either council or any council have any questions before we begin? Then, Ms. Langen, you may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Megan Langen, and I represent the appellant Timothy Buell in this matter. The defendant, Mr. Buell, was charged with driving under the influence, first offense non-aggravated, possession of an open alcohol container, and careless driving. After a trial, the defendant was found guilty and sentenced on all three counts. The issue argued in my brief was the evidence presented at trial was insufficient to find Mr. Buell guilty of driving under the influence, possession of an open alcohol container, and careless driving. The most prominent issue, and the one that I will spend the majority of my time today talking about, is that the evidence presented at trial was insufficient to find him guilty of driving under the influence. A brief recitation of the facts are: on October 25th, 2020, around 10 p.m., Deputy Jason Schneider with the Lancaster County Sheriff's Office was on patrol and was dispatched to an accident. The accident was involving a vehicle that had slid off the road. I think it is important to note that the reporting party was a tow truck driver that was on the same road responding to an unrelated vehicle. Also, that the name of the tow truck driver was never identified, and as well as whether the tow truck driver was on the road prior to Mr. Buell's car going in the ditch or after. There was no additional witnesses that testified as to when the vehicle slid into the ditch.
As to the careless driving incident, what specific evidence was presented to support the careless driving conviction?
Your Honor, there was, Deputy Schneider did testify that there was snow on the ground that evening and that it was a little bit slick. In Deputy Schneider's report, he also stated the vehicle had not struck any personal or private property and that the scene did not appear to be an accident, only a vehicle that had slid or run off the road due to the slick conditions. So based on that, I feel like it is rather an accident rather than an incident of careless driving. So as to the accident, Deputy Schneider additionally testified that when he arrived on scene, Southwest Fire and Rescue had already responded, as well as another deputy, Deputy Brady.
What specifically is missing in regard to the drunk drive count?
It is unknown. There is actually a Nebraska case on point that I feel like really mirrors this case, which is State v. Martin, in the fact that it is unknown when he was actually in actual physical control of the vehicle, because when Deputy Schneider arrived, as well as Deputy Brady, Mr. Buell was already in the ambulance. So neither deputy actually observed Mr. Buell in actual physical control.
He admitted driving, though, didn't he?
He did. But as in State v. Martin, that is a similar situation where in Martin, he did admit to driving the vehicle as well. And that is actually the state's position, is that that circumstantial evidence of Martin admitting to driving the vehicle, or excuse me, Mr. Buell driving the vehicle, is that that is enough. However, in Martin, his admission in and of itself was found to be insufficient to prove that he was in actual physical control of the vehicle and when he was last in actual physical control of the vehicle.
So whether he was intoxicated at the time that he was in actual physical control of the vehicle is the question?
Yes, Your Honor.
Was there any evidence here that the appellant consumed alcohol after the accident occurred?
There was not. He was questioned at the time by Deputy Schneider and answered that he had consumed alcohol several hours prior at a party. And when asked if he consumed any alcohol after his accident, he initially responded no, and then responded that he was unsure.
And were there tests done, and what did they show?
Yes, Deputy Schneider did conduct several DUI testing at the scene and then did accompany Mr. Buell to the hospital and conducted further testing, and that it did indicate that he was under the influence.
So is your argument the court couldn't consider circumstantial evidence in this case?
My argument is that this case significantly mirrors State v. Martin in that...
Wasn't there a greater amount of time that elapsed between the driving and the arrest in Martin? Weren't we talking about a significant amount of time, whereas here the evidence, at least circumstantially, seems to be a lot more prompt?
I think that the timelines in both State v. Martin as well as this case are a little unclear. In State v. Martin, there was a report of suspicious parties, and when the police arrived, there were several people around the vehicle. And when asked, Martin admitted that he was the driver. And in this case, as I stated, there was no, we know that the tow truck driver was the reporting party. However, we do not know, there was no evidence presented as to whether the tow truck driver actually witnessed Mr. Buell go into the ditch or whether he simply was driving and noticed a car in the ditch and then reported it. And so I think that is where the timeline can be a little bit unclear, as there was no evidence presented as to when Mr. Buell's car was in the ditch, if it was witnessed driving into the ditch or if it had been in the ditch for some time before the tow truck driver saw.
Is there any evidence of what time he was at this party or what time he consumed the alcohol at the party?
There was no evidence presented. Deputy Schneider testified that Mr. Buell indicated it was several hours prior that he had consumed alcohol.
Was there alcohol found at the scene?
There was. There was a open container of beer that had spilled inside his vehicle.
What is the evidence of that?
Well, Your Honor, the only evidence of that is testimony that Deputy Schneider provided. Deputy Brady, who was the first responding officer, did not testify at the trial and did not fill out any subsequent reports indicating what was found. So the only evidence that was presented was Deputy Schneider's reporting of what Deputy Brady told him, which was that there was an open container of beer that had spilled inside the vehicle.
And what is insufficient about that, if anything?
I believe that it is insufficient evidence. I think it would have been, I believe, having evidence of Deputy Brady filling out a police report. I think that him being the first responding officer and not providing any testimony was insufficient, and we are only hearing from Deputy Schneider.
Were there evidentiary objections to this way the open container evidence came in?
I'm sorry, because you're...
Were there any evidentiary objections? Was it hearsay? Did the trial counsel find that somehow what Brady told Schneider and Schneider testified for was missing the ingredients of proper evidence?
At one point, I believe there was a hearsay objection as to Deputy Schneider testifying as to what Deputy Brady told him, but I do not believe... I believe this was included in Deputy Schneider's report, which was admitted at trial, was what Deputy Brady had told him. And I do not believe that that was objected to.
Let me ask you about the two remaining counts, the careless driving and the open container. Did you preserve those for appeal to the district court?
We did, Your Honor. I believe there was an error with the statement of errors being fully... disclosed to the district court. I'm not fully sure of what had happened at that incident, but I believe that I did address all of those matters in my brief.
In your brief here, or
yes,
before the district court?
Before the district court as well.
But not in the statement of errors?
I believe it was included in the statement of errors, but I know that there was some confusion as to whether that it was included or
what,
not.
What does our record show about that?
Does
the statement of errors appear in the record?
I believe it does, Your Honor.
And what does it say?
That, I'm sorry, I don't know if I understand the question.
Which errors appear in the statement of errors filed in the district court on appeal from the county court to the district court?
That it was insufficient to find Mr. Buell guilty of driving under the influence, possession of the open alcohol container, and careless driving.
So it was insufficiency of the evidence.
Yes.
Was the sole assignment
yes.
there. And that's what it said.
Yeah. Yes, Your
Correct.
Honor.
Correct.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions, I'd like to reserve my remaining 15 seconds if possible.
Thank you. Mr. Dwork, good morning to you.
Morning. May it please the court, I am Braden Dvorak, senior certified law student representing the appellee, the state of Nebraska. On this appeal, the appellant assigns the error of insufficiency of the evidence for a conviction of driving under the influence, possession of an open alcohol container, and careless driving. However, it's the state's position that only the sufficiency of the DUI conviction is properly before this court.
Why is that?
So the state has three reasons. First, the statement of errors was filed improperly. It was filed with the county court rather than the district court, contrary to Nebraska Court Rule 6-1452. Secondly, when the appellant filed their brief to the district court, the appellant only discussed the DUI conviction in that brief. And the last reason...
Is the appellant obligated to file a brief at all in an appeal from county court to district court?
I don't believe the appellant is required to. However, I think the biggest indicator is what the district court said in its order. The district court took that statement of errors that was improperly filed. Actually, there's no evidence that the district court even saw it in the record and only addressed the DUI conviction. So what the state's position is the only thing that is preserved for this appeal is what the district court addressed in its order, being only the DUI conviction. The standard of review for sufficiency of the evidence claim on appeal is whether after reviewing the evidence in light most favorable to the state, any rational trier of fact could have found the essential elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's the state's position that all necessary elements of the DUI conviction were found beyond a reasonable doubt at trial, and the district court did not err in finding for the state on appeal. To prove driving under the influence in accordance with Nebraska Revised Statute 60-6196, state must prove beyond a reasonable doubt two elements. First, that the appellant was in actual physical control of the motor vehicle, and second, that he was under the influence at the time that he was in control of the motor vehicle.
So it sounds like the timing is the issue raised by the appellant. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct from what I've heard.
How do we know that Mr. Buell was intoxicated at the time he was operating that vehicle?
So I'll start with operating the motor vehicle. There's several indicators indicating that he was operating the motor vehicle.
He admits to operating the motor
First
vehicle.
First and foremost indicates operating the motor vehicle.
But how do we know he's intoxicated?
He was intoxicated.
What he was operating.
Sure. He also admitted to drinking alcohol that evening.
So maybe he's intoxicated. Maybe he's driving the vehicle. How do we pull those together?
Yes.
What circumstantial evidence is there?
A lot of evidence. There's an ambulance on scene indicating that this is an emergency situation. The EMTs, I believe in the record and the police report, indicate that they noticed that the appellant was under the influence. The reason why he ended up going to the hospital is because the EMTs feared that he was so intoxicated that he was unable to refuse medical treatment. That's how he ended up in the hospital in the first place. Second, the officer, the sheriff's deputy, conducted field sobriety tests, I believe two, on scene. The appellant failed both of those, indicating intoxication. Third, the deputy testified to an overwhelming odor of alcohol on the appellant's breath. There's another indicator, and then lastly, that he had admitted to drinking prior to the incident. As opposing counsel had said, he was asked on the scene, have you been drinking since the accident? First, he said no. Secondly, he said he didn't remember. Most importantly, third, he was asked again at the hospital by the deputy. There, he clarified his statement and said, no, I have not been drinking since the accident. So all of those things together indicate that he was driving the vehicle because he admitted to it. The tow truck driver in the police report says there's a man that matched his description who was driving the vehicle. The ambulance there obviously pulled him into the ambulance because he was the victim of this crash, no one else, and then all of the indicators that I've just laid out.
What is the status of the police report? Is that entered into evidence?
Yes, without objection, it's entered into evidence. I believe it was actually stipulated too. So it is, I mean, it's in our record. I believe it's Exhibit 2, and then everything within that police report is.
So could the court then use anything in the police report?
Yes,
it was evidence for any of the three charges.
Yes, it was admitted into evidence. It's in the record before this court. Yes.
Specifically in regard to the open container charge, what is the evidence in the record of that?
Sure. So it's in Exhibit 2. It's the police report on page 3 of Exhibit 2. Deputy Brady further informed me that he had discovered an open natural light beer in the vehicle that had spilled. So the elements of an open container charge are open alcohol container that has liquid in it that's in the passenger area of a vehicle. All of those seem to be indicated here. It's in the passenger vehicle. Passenger area of the vehicle had spilled, indicates that there was liquid in that. And then obviously a natural light can is an alcoholic beverage. So it's the state's position that that's not properly before this court. However, if this court finds that it is, the evidence is sufficient to find
that
conviction.
What evidence is there of the careless driving?
Careless driving, Nebraska statute lays out that careless driving is driving a vehicle carelessly or without due caution so as to endanger a person or property. Driving under the influence of alcohol, drinking and driving is careless driving.
So you're saying the DUI itself is the evidence of the careless driving?
Driving under the influence, yes, is evidence of carelessly or without due caution as to endanger a person or property. Yes.
Do you have other evidence? Careless driving?
That is the only evidence of the careless driving conviction that...
If you end up with your car in the ditch, is that evidence of careless driving?
If you're under the influence of alcohol, yes, it is.
Have we ever said that?
I'm not aware of any case law that suggests that. However, just taking a look at the statute, without caution or to endanger others, it seems that...
So if you drive drunk but you're really careful and you don't go into a ditch, you don't damage any property, you get home, that's careless driving?
If you're under the influence of alcohol, that's endangering others, yes.
So let's talk hypothetically for a moment. If this situation is this person goes in the ditch and there's no alcohol involved, in this situation, everything else is the same here except for there was no alcohol involved, would that be careless driving?
Taking a look at the record, I don't think so, because I believe there's some evidence that there may have been slick conditions. So again, as I stated, I believe that the careless driving is connected to the DUI conviction. Again, it's the state's position that the careless driving conviction is not properly before this court, but if this court finds that it is, there is sufficient evidence to find that conviction. If there are no further questions, the state asks this court to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 13 seconds. You lost a couple of seconds.
I would like to submit.
Okay. Thank you very much, counsel. That concludes arguments in State versus Buell. You are hence excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State of Nebraska versus TW.